Are we good? Hey, awesome. Happy Friday. A couple quick announcements. Number one, Monday is the deadline if you would like to be a women's Bible study leader. So get in touch with Kate D if you want to do that. It's awesome. And today's a visitation day. I hear we have some high school juniors among us today. So let's welcome them. We hope you guys feel very welcome. So how was your week? It's Friday after spring break. This can be a tough week to be back, but the weekend's here now, right? So I hope you all had a fantastic spring break. As you probably know, there were a number of students who went about on spring break immersion trips this year, and I've invited three of them to come and share a little bit of what their experience was like on their immersion trip. So we're using the language that's a little bit different this year. We're calling our trips immersion trips instead of mission trips, and we are doing that for some specific reasons. One of the reasons that we wanted to change the name is so that we could help ourselves to remember that part of what we do when we go to a new place among new people is not to go and fix things like we have all the answers, but to go and really just learn, which can be a pretty different experience if you're used to being able to, you know, really get your hands dirty and do some good work for folks. So the first question I have is for Joe, who did... who has a fan club. Joe did a lot of immersion trips, right? Mission trips, service trips in the past, and this was your first immersion trip experience. So talk a little bit about what that was like for you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Joe. I led the trip to the U.S.-Mexico border in Agua Prieta.
Thanks. Just getting a little excited. I was actually initially pretty hesitant about the switch. I have been on several service trips, and they've been a pretty formative part of my Christian walk, so naturally I'm a pretty big fan of them. There's just something about the instant gratification of going somewhere and having something tangible that you can point to and look, I help people. That I really enjoy for some reason. So there wasn't a whole lot of appeal for me initially about a trip where we're not actually helping people then and there, but we're learning. But after the trip going there and having come back, I'm starting to realize we can do a lot more good now that we're back here than we could do in a week. So the difference between a service trip and an immersion trip to me is that the work starts now after the trip is over. So one of the things we did while we were in Mexico is we talked to a lot of people who were trying to cross the border illegally. And we just saw a lot of hurt and pain and families being separated that I couldn't do anything about. So I struggled a bit with helplessness on the trip, or feelings of helplessness. And now, coming back to Michigan, I'm starting to realize that we can take what we've learned and educate other people and make a difference even here. In Michigan, it's so easy to think of immigration as a political issue, just something that you check yes or no on a ballot. But in actuality, people are being exploited and dying, and we have to think about it as the humanitarian issue that it is. So one of the things we did was we visited Cafe Justo, which is a fair trade coffee organization that gives jobs to a lot of coffee farmers that aren't able to compete with these huge corporations that are devoted to, you know, bringing us, the consumer, the cheapest products available. And unfortunately, one of the side effects of that is they kind of have to cut some corners, and a lot of time that's the farmers, the people who make the products and grow the coffee and all that stuff. So Cafe Justo's mission is to make sure that these people who are responsible for getting us the coffee that we pay $4 a cup for, making sure that they're earning what they deserve. So we started thinking about that. We started thinking about stewardship and what God calls us to do with our money. So the last night we were in Mexico, we were challenged to start asking questions of the companies that we spend our money on. We asked them questions like, is this coffee fair trade? Was the person who made this product, were they given fair compensation for what they did? And if we start using our voices to do things like that, if we start challenging the companies that we consume from, it's gonna make a difference. They're gonna start making changes to accommodate what we're asking of them. And it's not so much, our current response to immigration, the border patrol and the giant fence and all the money we're pouring into this, that's treating a symptom. It's not treating the actual cause of the problem. But if we can start alleviating some of the hurt that's going on with just how we spend our money, even all the way up here in Michigan, that's going to make a big difference.
So you talked about the symptoms of the problem and then the sort of underlying, the root of the problem. And I think that's a really inspiring way to think about how we can be called as Christians. Well, what's the root of this? Why is this problem actually existing in the first place? But it's also a pretty big question to ask, and it demands a lot of us. It's not quite as easy, you know? I think that maybe that's what the Bible a lot of times talked about when the prophets say things about doing justice. Maybe that's what they mean, but at the same time, I think that that's a huge calling for Christians and pretty different than what we're used to doing. Becky, I know you were on a pretty different trip than that. Could you talk a little bit about how your group struggled with some of those issues of the root of the problem and not just the symptoms?
Hi, I'm Becky, and I led the trip to West Virginia, where we learned about an issue called mountaintop removal, which I didn't know anything about before the trip. And basically, it's a type of coal mining where the tops of mountains are completely blown off in order to dig into the deeper veins of coal inside the mountain. And this causes a lot of harm to the environment and the communities that live around the mountains. It damages homes, causes cancer, and intoxicates the water sources for people in the community. While on this trip, we met people who were forced to leave their homes where they lived, their families had lived there for over 100 years. And we met people who can't drink their own water because it's so dirty. God cries out for this suffering caused by mountaintop removal. Psalm 95:4 says, "In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him." God created us for his glory, and he calls us to love and care for his creation. So as humans, we need to protect the beauty of the earth, and blowing up mountains is not following this command. So on this trip, we didn't do service projects like painting houses or weeding gardens, but we did take part in a very important survey to measure the health of the communities, to show the devastating effects that mountaintop removal has on these areas. And this survey has the potential to influence Congress to ban mountaintop removal in West Virginia forever. So our group wanted to stand up for the hurting people of West Virginia and other areas affected by mountaintop removal. God calls us to speak out against injustice and to care for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. As Christians, we can't always do something in the short term to help people, but long term, we can make a difference by learning more about the issue and changing the underlying policies that harm people. So our group recently found out that there's a coal plant here in Holland that gets its coal from mountaintop removal, and we want to speak up to help these people in our own backyard.
So that's a pretty big takeaway that you guys had, not just helping people in West Virginia, but also finding a way that West Virginia is right here in Holland, so that you can actually change something from where you are. And I think that is such a great way to feel that God's call isn't just for that week that you were gone, but also for our whole lives, and that we can be part of righting wrongs as a call as Christians for our whole lives. Now, Caleb, you and another group of students were right here in Holland for spring break. Tell us a little bit about what you guys learned about injustices that are happening right here.
Yeah, we stayed in Holland, which is kind of a novel idea for spring break. But it's a place that I call home, and so God taught me a ton about this place and these people that I call home, and it's only a few blocks away. But we found ourselves immersed in an entirely different culture and seemingly an entirely different city. I learned that there are three tiers of aid that the government gives, and the poorest parts of Detroit and Flint receive tier one funding. And there are a lot of different places that receive Tier 3 funding, but the core city of Holland is the only one on the second tier of funding. That is to say that following Detroit and Flint is the core city of Holland, of which Hope is right on the edge of. We are in one of the poorest parts of Michigan, and I didn't know that, and maybe you didn't either. I learned that Holland Public High has a 33% dropout rate. I learned that 68% of students in the Holland Public District come from low-income families. I learned that there are a demographic of youth in Holland that are blown away when you remember their name. I learned that addiction and abuse, unemployment, immigration injustice, and the dehumanization of poverty are relaxing in our backyard. But God also taught me that he has already been responding to the plight of the disadvantaged. He led our group up to the steps of his church in Holland and dismissed the myth that the church is irrelevant. Over spring break, we found ourselves sitting in the church at the feet of Brian, John, Sister Pat, Reverend Brown, Jonathan and Jeanette, Denise and CJ, Josh, Jeff and Melissa, Raul and Judy, Emmanuel, Gary, Yolanda and Johnny, Keith and Virgil. And that is just the beginning of the list of people who understand that Hope College is not a reflection of the city of Holland, who understand that God wants to use the church in our core city to change people's lives, and that he's already doing this. For the past 4 years, I've gotten to be a part of a church that recognizes this, and you can be a part of that church too, of that church in the core city. We were at Venralti Tech, which is a school for students who have received cards saying they are failures. And I overheard a conversation that went basically like this. Who is that group of students visiting us? I think they're from Hope College. Hope College. We have no shot at getting into Hope College. And they're right. They do not have the money or the grades to get into Hope College. But for some reason, completely beyond my control, I do. And you do. And what spring break taught me is that this matters. And it matters that we live in the same place. Every Sunday night at the gathering, we light a candle and we say that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. This spring break, I walked a few blocks off of Hope's campus and saw that there is a darkness. But I also saw the light overcoming the darkness. And I want to be a part of that.
I do too. And I want... I do too, and I want you guys to be part of it too. I think that what an amazing testimony to the ways that God can use even us to be part of building the kingdom on this earth. And if in 1 week, you know, you guys could do what you said that you were able to do and come back with a sense of call that it's not over and that we are called as Christians to do this for our lives, I think that's pretty amazing. You know, immersion trips are one way to hear God's call on your life like this, but they're one of 100 ways. So if you want to be part of one next year, I hope that you do that. But if you have a sense of God's call in other ways, I think part of what we do as Christians is try to respond in our own way to that call from God, because we are all unique. We all have gifts to give that nobody else can give. And God wants to use our gifts to build his kingdom. So with that, let's pray. God, we thank you for this mystery that you use human beings, college students, regular people, to do kingdom work. We thank you for the ways that you have shown your face, that you have shown hope to students on immersion trips this year, whether there were these 3 trips or other ones. We thank you that you're faithful to us, but that you also give us the privilege of working for your kingdom. Help us all to feel that call. In your name, amen. Go in peace.